You're with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast on 3CR. So if you want to donate, go on 3cr.org.au/donate. And during the week, you can call on 94198377 and people will take your donation. And on the line, we've got Sue Bolton, Marybeck councillor. G'day, Sue. How are you?
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, good. It's very chilly outside, though.
Oh, yes, it is. Even chillier train station leafleting on Wednesday.
I bet you it was. Yeah, I know. It's just mind-bogglingly cold. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the increased aggression from Victorian police against pro-Palestinian protesters. Because you are a representative of the people, as it were, I'd like to, there's a petition going around after June the 9th when the VicPol police were trying to move the sound truck away from the protest on Sunday. I was just wondering what your reflections are on what the Victoria police are doing.
Well, I think what's happened is that the government, the federal government and state governments around Australia that are all 100% in support of Israel and refuse to take any serious action to force Israel to sign a permanent immediate ceasefire. And so because they're feeling the pressure from the public, who are shocked and aghast about the horrendous mass industrial-style slaughter that's happening against the people of Gaza. So governments, I think, are now starting to take some repressive action against protesters. And the decision to harass and step up harassment and intimidation of protesters by police wouldn't have been taken just by the lower level police. This would have been taken by the Premier's office and the top police command, and then the lower level police just comply with it. Like, that is quite clear. I mean, one of the cops even said to me last Sunday when the cops refused to let the soundtrack go up in front of the state library, this cop said, oh, the decision's been made much higher. So the reasons for stopping the soundtrack, which the police, you know, told us last Sunday, was because it's unsafe to drive up to the state library and park because it's a cycle path. Well, it hasn't been considered by the police to be unsafe for 8 months. Suddenly, they consider it unsafe. So this is an example of political policing.
Yeah, sure is. The Victoria Police and government for abusing the power of the state. That's what's going on, abusing the power of the state.
Yeah, exactly. It is exactly the case. And it reminds me of all the way back in 2000, when we had the blockade of the World Economic Forum at Crown Casino, and we had a very effective blockade. It was even a lot of journalists, a lot of world leaders couldn't get in through the blockade. So that at a certain point, I think, can't remember if it was day two or day three of the blockade, it was a Labor government then as well, Steve Brack's government, decided to crack heads and got the police to use whatever violence was necessary to break the blockade. And they did break the blockade, but there was horrendous police violence, and that was pre most mobile phones, or certainly pre-iPhone and all of that. So, yeah, a lot of that was, you know, captured, but not in the way that the violence would be captured today on people's mobile phones.
No, and what we're talking about is intimidation tactics such as video surveillance, vehicle drones, unmanned aerial drones, censorship, large numbers of police officers swarming individual protesters, excuse me, excessive deployment of the specialist riot police unit at various times, selective use of body worn cameras. And I noticed that if they actually use pepper spray outside one of the Labor Party electoral offices, which seems pretty heavy-handed, if you ask me.
Well, you know, I think it is very heavy-handed. Pepper spray isn't a inert substance. Some, you know, like there's different grades of pepper spray, and many people in this movement have never experienced pepper spray. There are many small babies, young children, elderly people. This is a huge diversity of people in this movement. And one picture I saw of the protest the Sunday before last, I wasn't able to go on the last part of the march, so I wasn't present myself. But when the police pepper sprayed the rally up at Parliament House, I saw one picture of this copper chatting away to his mate copper with his head turned away from where he was spraying. So he was spraying gaily across the crowd without looking to see who was spraying. Not that it was justified spraying anybody, but it was like no thought to the fact that there could be babies and small children, because this is a total cross-section of the population that's coming out to the Palestine protest. And this is in a total disregard for people's health and well-being. And a lot of people have never experienced this before. They're not, you know, long-term civil disobedience activists who've, you know, maybe experienced this before. This is a crowd that hasn't experienced this. They want to show their horror and call for action from the Australian government and state governments to end all military ties with Israel and put immediate sanctions on Israel for this mass industrial-scale slaughter that's happening. So, you know, it's just really quite outrageous, and I think it's only because the government is losing the argument. People can see what's happening on their social media and their TV screens, etc., and they don't buy the argument that this is self-defence by Israel, when it's clearly the case that way over 40,000 people have been killed.
This is a scapegoating process, isn't it, what's going on here?
I think it is. They're trying to provoke us. They're trying to provoke us to do stupid things in the movement. They're trying to provoke us. They're trying to demonise the protesters in the same way that they're also making huge statements about anti-Semitism, trying to describe our movement as anti-Semitic, when actually the anti-Semitism has come from the far-right races and often nurtured by the mainstream politicians, especially on the Liberal Party side. It's been nurtured, the anti-Semitism in Australia, of the anti-Semitism of the far-right races. And even some of the Zionist organisations have had friendly dealings with far-right forces who are anti-Semitic but are supporting Israel currently. So this is totally duplicitous. And I think that all of the calls about anti-Semitism are all about trying to tarnish the reputation of this movement. And they're trying to claim that any criticism of Israel is anti-Semitic. Well, that's not the case. Millions of Jews all over the world are anti-Zionist, or even if they're not anti-Zionist, they hate what the Israeli government is doing by using their name to justify mass slaughter of Palestinians. They don't agree with this mass slaughter of Palestinians, and they're part of the protest. So this is not an anti-Semitic movement. In fact, I would say the pro-Palestine movement is a great example of a movement that is 100% opposed to anti-Semitism, that's 100% welcoming of Jews and all walks of life, all sorts of people. And this movement is an example of social cohesion where members of all sorts of religions and atheists are all part of the one movement. So this is, you know, this is a very socially cohesive movement that's welcoming of all.
You're on Solidarity Breakfast and we're talking to Sue Bolton, Marybeck councillor, but also pro-Palestinian protester. And we're reflecting on the increasing violent approach of the Victorian police to try and move everybody on. There's nothing to see here. Is it's almost like, look, it's 8 months now, just get on with your life, right?
Well, that's what they're sort of trying to do, and we've got to make sure we don't fall for that because, I mean, it is true. People put their lives on hold in the very beginning last year. No one really dreamt that Israel would be bombing until Christmas, bombing and implementing a siege until Christmas, let alone over 8 months. This is over 8 months that people in Gaza have been subject to daily, many times each day, bombing raids, as well as the struggle for food and water, and now struggle also against disease as well. We are going to see some of the photos coming out of Gaza now of young children with the most horrendously skinny bodies, like what came out of parts of Africa during the height of famines in the 70s and 80s. That's what's happening in Gaza now. And we are about to see mass killing as a result of malnutrition and disease, possibly way higher than people who've died as a result of being bombed. So that's what's driving people. And while, you know, people are living in Gaza, we have to keep our movement going. And, you know, I think we also have to be targeted in our approach. I think we have to know who our friends and enemies are. And I think we have to keep the focus on the government and the politicians and the companies that the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement are targeting. Because, you know, I think we can't target unions. I think that's really important because unions are our potential allies or allies in the struggle. We want unions involved in this movement. Unions played a big role in the anti-war movement in the past. They haven't been as strong in this movement, possibly because their party, the Labor Party, is in government. But we need unions coming out and speaking out. So we want to welcome unions into the movement, and we need to keep our focus on the government and the politicians and on, you know, what needs to happen, which is immediate sanctions of all kinds on Israel, total, full, you know, end to all military ties of any kind, the expulsion of the Israeli ambassador, you know, support for the ICJ genocide case, like Australia should become party to that case, recognition of the Palestinian state, you know, a promise to arrest any Israeli war criminals who come to Australia, and freezing of Israeli financial assets in Australia, and plus all of the sanctions they're using against Russia should be used against Israel. And that's not happening at the moment.
Yes, that's exactly right. And let's bring it back down to tomorrow, which is the rally. What would you think would be the best approach for people for tomorrow's rally at 12?
Well, I think the best approach is for people to turn up in numbers. And so if people listening who support Palestine haven't been to a Sunday rally for a while, please turn out, please come. We understand not everyone can attend all of the time, every single Sunday, because some people have other commitments which are also important. But please attend if you haven't. The rallies are still occurring every Sunday, 12 noon, at the State Library. The rally will happen this Sunday. Whether the police allow the soundtrack up to the State Library or block it on the street, we will, you know, do what we did last week. If they block the truck, we will have the rally in the middle of the street. But we really need numbers to turn up. We need people to come. Don't stop turning up. We've got to keep turning up until we get permanent, immediate ceasefire and the lifting of the siege. We've got to keep going. The people of Gaza are still experiencing daily bombs dropping. People are starving. Kids are dying of malnutrition as well as disease. So we've got to keep going while the people in Gaza are still going.
Thanks for talking to us this morning, Sue.
Thanks very much, Annie.